Hello and thank you for downloading Witness with me, Mike Lanshin. And today we go back more than 30 years to the assassination in the Philippines of the opposition leader Benigno Aquino. He was shot dead on the tarmac of Manila's International Airport just minutes after arriving back from exile. I've been speaking to his brother-in-law, who was with him that day. It's August the 21st, 1983. Benigno, or Nino Aquino, a fierce opponent of President Ferdinand Marcos, is on a plane heading back to Manila. After 3 years in exile, he's returning home to an uncertain and potentially dangerous future. Alongside Aquino on the plane is his brother-in-law, the veteran American reporter, Ken Kashiwihara.
My thought was, and the family's thought was, this is the most important trip of his life, and at least one family member should go with him. And so somehow or other, I was elected as to be the one to go with him, probably the logical one being an American.
Also there on board, a group of journalists eager to witness this historic moment.
Ninoy was very gregarious and very outgoing, and once we got to our cruising altitude, it got quite chaotic. We had 12, 15 journalists and cameramen on board with us, so once the seatbelts came off, they all started crowding around him, trying to do interviews with him. I told them, let's go in back, where we have more room. And so during the entire flight, almost, he was doing interviews, posing for pictures in the back of the plane.
And your mood at that stage, did you feel lightened by the atmosphere as well, Ken?
I mean, I was excited that we were finally going home, but I was still quite anxious.
Everyone was anxious. No one knew just how President Marcos would react to this act of defiance. Nino Aquino was a member of a large and prominent political dynasty, but had been labelled a communist and imprisoned by Marcos following the imposition of martial law in 1972. After 7 years in jail, he was allowed to seek medical treatment in the US, where he stayed in exile. His return home was meant to unite a divided opposition to challenge the regime. But talking to journalists on the plane, Aquino appeared to hint that it could all go badly wrong.
I suppose there's a physical danger because, assassination is part of public service. So that's part of the hazard of the game. My feeling is we all have to die sometime. Now, if it's my fate to die by an assassin's bullet, so be it.
He prayed quite often during that last day. He prayed on the plane, he prayed in his hotel room. And at one point, he said, it would be a victory if we just landed. At another point, just before we landed, he went into the plane's restroom to put on his bulletproof vest. He hadn't had it on. He had gotten that from somebody. But he said, if they hit me in the head, then I'm still a goner.
By the time the plane landed, the tension on board was rising.
I kept looking out the window to see what was going on. At one point, somebody said the tarmac was completely deserted, and we started getting nervous. As we pulled into the gate, I looked out the window, and I could see just part of the crowd that had gathered, and I mentioned that to him, and he just smiled. But then I saw a blue van pulling up on the tarmac and all these soldiers jumping out with automatic weapons and coming up the stairs of the jetway, and I just turned and said, Ninoy, they're coming to get you. To take him back to prison, I assume. The soldiers came on board. They walked down the aisle looking for him. The first one walking down the aisle missed him, didn't see him. But the second one saw, recognized Ninoy and bent down, helped him get up. Ninoy said something to them in Tagalog, was smiling, and my wife reminded me later that Filipinos are always nice even to their enemies. So they took him, helped him out of his seat, and they just escorted him down the aisle. And all of us, the journalists and me, we tried to follow, but there were plainclothes security people outside on the stairs of the jetway, and they slammed the door shut, and they wouldn't let anybody out.
The moment his plane landed here, he was taken into custody in an almost casual way. He was escorted out of the airplane and onto the tarmac.
As I later timed, it was 9 seconds after he left that door until I heard the first shot being fired.
Everybody out!
And when you heard those first shots, did you immediately realize what had happened?
I didn't know what had happened. I suspected what had happened. I suspected the worst, which is why at that point I got really, really angry that they would dare do this. So I yelled some expletives, and I tried to push my way up, but I couldn't. So I went to try to see out the plane's window to see what had happened. And the journalists on board said, you know, they had seen Ninoy's body on the tarmac, bloodied body on the tarmac.
By the time Ken managed to clamber past the journalists and the other frightened passengers to get to a window, Aquino's body had gone. It had apparently already been taken away in the blue van that Ken had noticed earlier. All that remained on the tarmac was the body of another man. President Marcos would later claim that this was the lone gunman who'd opened fire on Aquino before being shot dead himself by the security forces.
My mind was racing and I thought, okay, his body's gone. What do I do now? So I had to get out of the plane into the terminal to find my wife, who was there with the other opposition leaders and with the family, waiting for him. And I said, I got to get there and tell her what happened. So I ran out of the plane through the jetway into the terminal. I got to immigration, and it was this long line, of course. But I just ran to the front, and I was quite frantic. And I said, my brother-in-law's been shot. And whoever was first in line just stepped aside and let me go through. So I got through, and I found my wife. She took me to the what they call the VIP room, which is where the opposition leaders were waiting, and Ninoy's mother. So I got into the room, and I was so shaken when I saw her face. She was kind of looking up at me as if to say, "Tell me something good." But when I saw that, I just couldn't tell her. I could not tell her that Ninoy had been shot.
Tens of thousands of Filipinos took to the streets today when the body of the assassinated opposition leader, Benigno Aquino, was moved from his home to the Church of Santo Domingo. And this was only the beginning of funeral arrangements expected to stretch over the next 5 days. The public grief over the death of Mr. Aquino, who was shot at the airport here after his return from voluntary exile, has startled the authorities. Mr. Aquino's widow reflected the extent of public sorrow when she arrived back here last night.
I remember Ninoy's mother had decided that we will not touch his body. We will leave his body just the way it is, bloodied with a bullet hole and everything, so that people can see what Marcos did to him. And they filed past the casket for all day, all night. We stayed in Ninoy's house, and when I got up once at 3 o'clock in the morning, I walked out into the living room, and they were still filing by. And that was quite a bold statement for the people to make, because they were still under martial law, they were still under dictatorship, and they could have been punished for just going to the house, but they did.
The assassination of Ninoy Aquino was a turning point for the Philippines and for President Marcos. The opposition united around Aquino's widow, Corazon, and in 1986, Marcos was forced to flee after trying to fix presidential elections. Corazon Aquino became president of her country. After a long and distinguished career as a foreign correspondent, Ken Kashiwahara retired to live in the San Francisco area. He was speaking to me, Mike Lanshin, in August of 2013 for Witness. For a complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/witness.